Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamma. Today is Friday, June 26, 2015, and with me today, I have the whole dang crew. I have Dave Hamilton, Brian Chaffin, Kelly Gumont, John Martellaro, and Adam Christensen.
We are short some contributing.
That's true. We are short some of our contributing writers, but as it turns out, this is the maximum capacity the fire department will let us put into the TMO studios.
The makeshift TMO studios here in Breckenridge, Colorado this weekend.
That's right, where the air is thinner, so that means we'll have to use shorter words on the show today.
So we truly are face-to-face, which is why we decided to do this with all of us.
Right, so this is actually the single biggest episode of TDO we've done so far. And I think this is going to be really cool.
Or a train wreck.
Whatever. I've heard it both ways. Anyhow, we also have a sponsor today, and that is Bushel, which is really awesome. We'll be talking about them soon. But before we do that, I wanted to dive in a little bit into this whole thing with Apple pulling games from the App Store that have Confederate flags in them. So that the quick background is that following the hate-motivated shootings in South Carolina, that people have been calling for the Confederate flag to be pulled from state locations, and then retailers have gotten in on this, and they are pulling Confederate-related materials from their inventories. Tim Cook has gotten on board and said that we need to get rid of hate and anti-racial materials. And now we have the App Store pulling apps that have Confederate flags in them. And I'm finding this interesting because we have all of these apps that are related to games. Anyhow, I've been kind of rambling about how all this is playing out. The short version is there's all these Confederate apps or apps that have Confederate flags in them that have been pulled from the App Store. Some of them are games, some of them are educational related. And I'm finding this interesting because we have other apps that have what people see as hate-related symbols in them, like Castle Wolfenstein. It has swastikas in it. And those apps are still on the App Store.
They are. And that's the thing is who Apple is has become our moral compass on this, right? They are, if not deciding for us, certainly acting as our steward and taking on this responsibility of, okay, well, if we're going to say bad things about people and use the Confederate flag to symbolize that, that's not allowed in the App Store. But it's totally okay to have somebody go in a first-person shooter and shoot up Nazis with swastikas all over them. That symbolism is fine. I don't get it.
That's balderdash is where I'll start. But first of all, Apple's intent here is to remove apps with the Confederate flag and Confederate symbology that is being used in a mean-spirited, and there was another adjective that they were using in their statement. So at some point, it seems like we're in the process of having, for instance, just historical simulations added back into the App Store even now. Well, take a game like Castle Wolfenstein. The Nazi symbology is not being used to promote. It is being used in a mean-spirited way, but it's against the Nazis rather than against someone else.
Yeah, so that's totally okay. As long as we're saying bad things about Nazis and not say, Confederates or slaves or anything else, and that's where Apple becomes our moral compass. I'm not into it. Pick one. We're either not going to be mean to anyone, or it's all good. Pick what you want. Yell at us.
This isn't about being mean to Confederates, Dave.
No, I know.
This is about Confederate symbology being used to espouse hatred, white supremacy, various forms of prejudice.
Similar to, say, the swastika. Hatred, white supremacy, similar forms of prejudice.
Yes, but there's a clear difference. In Castle Wolfenstein, the Nazis are the bad guys.
Ah, so if we just make a game where the Confederates are the bad guys, that's okay?
Maybe.
Oh, that's where the problem is.
Well, but we have a lot of cultural issues here in the United States, in a lot of Western culture.
I don't buy it. Apple needs to get off of this horse or get fully on it and say we can't have anything. It's got to be all coming up roses in the App Store or anything goes.
I can't completely disagree.
Okay. I see the big problem here is that Apple is singling out one hate and racist symbol instead of targeting all of them. And I get why they're going after the Confederate flag right now. I mean, this is an open wound for us after the whole tragedy in South Carolina.
But apps using Nazi symbology to promote racism have already been pulled. This is actually just getting the Confederate nonsense in line with what has already been the case in the App Store.
Okay, so does this mean that Apple now is our moral compass through knee-jerk reaction? Because they didn't do this until we had the South Carolina incident.
Well, who cares if it is? It's happening. Yay.
I think John has something to say.
Well, I think I'm sort of in the middle of you two guys. I think it's a cultural issue. We're sensitive to the fact that we were in a civil war, and that's different than the world fighting against Nazis who were gassing Jews and doing all sorts of atrocities. And so our dander's really up against these foreigners who were running roughshod over Europe and murdering people, and so they definitely qualify as demonized bad guys. But on the other hand, we've got Americans here fighting against Americans, and so that comes into play as well, and it kind of helps clarify, I think, the situation between Dave and Brian.
Germans fought against Germans. There was a wall they had actually for a little while there. But that was not Nazis.
That had nothing to do with Nazi.
Yeah, but it helps support my point if I just bring in Germany and the wall.
Yeah, as long as you go ahead and ignore all the facts that are associated with
it, sure.
Well,
that's, yeah.
Okay, all right.
Okay. This is like herding cats, but in a totally good way. Adam?
Well, so what I want to know about is, I mean, yes, Apple, they did this knee-jerk thing. They pulled everything down. It sounds like they're putting stuff back that's more historical and educational in terms of the symbology. But I also then wonder, I mean, I think the problem is you move down this line and suddenly you get in this gray area, like where are you going to draw that line? So there's all kinds of other war games on there that where you're fighting different kinds of enemies. So Middle Easterners or Japanese, or, you know, like at what point, where do you figure out where those lines are? Are those all okay because they're historical? And then if you start moving into a fictional realm and you depict certain races and certain people, is that okay? Is that not okay?
Well, the other thing to consider here, I think, is that we say the App Store, but when we say the App Store, we are implying the U.S. App Store. There are different rules for the kinds of material that is allowed in other app stores in other countries around the world already. And so it's entirely possible that this would not have ever happened in another country that had a civil war and there was this symbol that the people who lost in their wrongheaded stance were continuing to cling to as a racist symbol. It's entirely likely that in another country, this wouldn't necessarily have been the case. So yeah, it's absolutely a knee-jerk reaction that Apple is doing this now and that it shouldn't have been this way in the first place. But I guess better late than never, you kind of have to take what you can get.
Yeah, I guess the thing is if we're saying it's okay if you villainize the right group, then who decides what groups are the villains?
This is an aspect.
Winners get to decide who are demons.
This is an aspect of having a curated app store in the first place. Dave, you're saying that you don't want Apple to be our moral compass, but Apple has been our moral compass all along and is going to continue to be. I mean,
whether I want them to or not, I was just highlighting the fact that this is yet again Apple being our moral compass.
This is an aspect of having a curated app store that you can't get away from. Someone is going to be making decisions at some point about mm-hmm. something.
But it doesn't need to be about this. It needs to be about, is the app quality? Is it going to crash my machine? Does it have viruses in it? Those are great benefits of a curated app store. This social impact of it, I'm not saying it's surprising, but it's dangerous.
It is dangerous. There's a potential slippery slope with any kind of censorship, always.
Right.
Always. And but the there are plenty of people who would argue one way or the other, by the way, that that removing deliberate efforts to propagate any kind of racist ideology is inherently and obviously a good thing. Right? I mean, there are people who would argue that.
Yes, what I'm totally.
So who's going to make the decision as to how far you go? Again, someone has to make that decision.
You don't do any censorship at all.
Well, okay, that is a decision to make. Right. That's how you would make the decision.
Right.
That's great.
But Apple's decision is they will censor us.
Right. And they've already made that decision, yes, too. I mean, because right, this doesn't fall just in the realm of these racial issues as well. I mean, we know we've got pornography and you've got other kinds of stuff that we've already accepted. So we already do know that Apple's gone down this path. It's just that line's moving back and forth all the time.
Right. Well, and with pornography and so the whole sex market on the App Store, Apple has taken that beyond pornography and they have blocked or refused apps that deal with other things that relate to human sexuality in a positive way or in a health related way. And that's, I think, taking it too far again. But it's their store and they're going to curate the way they please.
Yeah, they do. I mean, but they do allow some things. So they, like to Dave's point, they're setting that moral compass and they're saying this level is okay, beyond this level is not.
Right. And sometimes it feels arbitrary. But then again, that's also because there's not a lot of transparency in how Apple is deciding what can and can't be on the App Store. It's like it's frustrating for developers and for users as well, because developers don't know what they're going to be able to get away with putting on the store, and then we don't know what we're going to be able to get.
And ultimately, I mean, you can't escape the fact that, again, this comes down to the fact that humans are making decisions here. So sometimes they will not be consistent, and it's frustrating. But this, again, is an aspect of having a curated app store.
Well, and the good news is if you have things curated like this, humans can make bad decisions, and then we can just gloss over them by curating them out of our store in the future.
Or backtrack, which Apple has already done. Like, you know, Apple pulled out all of the Confederate symbology, right, all apps with any Confederate symbology.
Right.
And that's, in my opinion, ridiculous. Right. There are certainly there are historical you can't whitewash this stuff out of history. Germany tried that with Nazi symbology, for instance. And that doesn't work. I don't think Apple is good. I think that Apple will probably find a line here that actually works fairly practically
for them.
I hope they do.
Fair enough.
There's more than I want to talk about today, but I also want the opinion of all of our listeners. So listeners, let me know what you think about what Apple's doing with the App Store and the Confederate flag and hate symbols. Shoot me an email. The email address is observations@macobserver.com. And I'm really interested in what you have to say. Now, I did say earlier we have a sponsor today, and that sponsor is Bushel. I'm really glad that they are our sponsor because they make a really great tool for managing all of your Apple devices. So what you can do is very easily take, say, your iPhone, your iPad, and your Mac and put them together in your Bushel account, and then when you need to push out app updates or do other maintenance, you can do that easily from a single interface. And if you have family members that just can't keep on top of these things, put their devices in your Bushel account, and now you can take care of mom and dad's iPhones and iPads as well and just make your life so much easier. The pricing is great. You can have three devices for free, and then anything after that is $2 a month. So it's a really great way to become your own IT department without actually having to invest in expensive software and go through a lot of training just to figure out crazy interfaces. It's a really cool thing. So Bushel, thank you so much for being our sponsor today.
Yay.
Head over to their website and check it out. It's bushel.com. Sign up for your free account and start managing your devices and make your life easier, because we all deserve easier lives. Okay. The other thing that I wanted to take a look at today is probably not quite as controversial as our first topic. And this is the news that's come out that a company called Prevaris may soon become an Apple property. So this company, what they have are a bunch of patents for some really interesting fingerprint sensing technology. And they do have companies that are using their technology today. What's interesting is that 26 of their 31 patents now belong to Apple. So they've handed over these patents to Apple. This is something that's common when a company is in the process of being purchased. So Apple now has a bunch of these fingerprint technology patents. One of them, interestingly enough, lets you put a sensor into the display surface on a device and then sense a fingerprint through the display. So taking that to its logical conclusion is Apple could take the home button off of the iPhone and iPad and replace that with a Touch ID sensor that's built into the display itself. And I'm curious what you guys think.
I have experience with that because I was in an Apple store one time and I was talking to a sales rep. And on Apple Pay, when we just had it on the phone, there would be this little red icon that would show up on the screen and it would say touch to pay, and people would touch the screen, he told me, because of that little fingerprint symbol that looked like you were supposed to match your finger to it. And for some reason, that confused people. And I can see why Apple would want to do it right.
Shenanigans. There's no reason to make the home button go away. We all confessed this morning that it's really important when I can't necessarily see my phone to be able to feel that home button on the front, since there's only one and it's the only way that I can tell if my phone is right side up or not. And that comes in really handy in a bunch of situations. If you're reaching for it, maybe in the car, and you want to make sure that you glance at it, the right, you know, right way up so that you're not trying to decipher something that is the wrong way around. And I think it probably, to me, it doesn't mean the home button is going away. I think it may just end up being smaller and more compact, but I think that there's definitely a place for it, and I don't think it's going to leave, because if they could make it smaller, they'd have to have less bezel at the bottom.
Kelly, one of the things I heard about in the past was is that there's a psychological appeal to having this escape route. Something goes wrong, you don't know what to do, the display is not performing like you should,
yeah,
and you just bail with the home button, and it's mechanical, and you know it's always going to work.
I have an Android tablet that does not have physical buttons on the front of it, and one of the things it has is this little arrow that points around to the left that's supposed to be some sort of back button. And when I was trying to figure out what my Android stuff was doing, I asked people, like, okay, so what's the back button for? And they're like, nobody knows. And it because it does something different in every app, and even, you know, Google, when they design the experience, like, sometimes it means you go back to your home screen, sometimes it means you go back to the previous screen in the app you're already in. And I don't want to give that kind of access and have that experience be super inconsistent, because it makes it hard to recommend something like an iPhone that is currently a great user experience with that home button, a hard thing for people to use if they are new to that platform.
Still, despite all of everything I said about the security of having a physical home button, I believe it's going away. Because think about the MacBook. Apple surges relentlessly into the future, and home buttons are so old world. It's a mechanical device that can fail, and it takes up a lot of room on the front of the iPhone where it could be used for display purposes.
But so does the camera. So you can see the future coming.
Yeah, but an Apple that relies on the home button is not the Apple Phil Schiller wants to have around. If we go back to his comments about all the changes that they continue to make, he wants an Apple that's going to take risks and experiment. And it sure seems like taking away the home button that, I mean, I say we've grown accustomed to it, but it, you know, 10 years ago, we didn't even have a home button. So, sure.
And to be fair, there was a time when we had grown accustomed to floppy disks.
That's right. Yeah.
Okay. But there's a huge logical leap between being able to sense fingerprints through a display and the home button going away.
Right.
There's no direct connection.
Well, you factor in that we've got Touch ID, Force Touch and all of that stuff. I think it's going to go away.
Yeah, Force Touch could replace the home button.
Yeah. Yeah, so combine the two together, and I think that was, certainly for me, that was the
mental.
Yeah,
you get the fingerprint sensor and the home touch thing.
Yep.
And as far as to Kelly's point about the camera and those sorts of things, Apple's been looking into those technologies for years as well, because about 2-3 years ago, they have some sort of patent on technology that would potentially enable the entire display to act as a video camera.
Right.
So you know, we, that may go away as well. You, we might, they probably do want to get to the point where the whole entire device is just one giant screen.
Well, you know that there's something there at Apple where there's an elegance to that. And my guess is that they are racing towards that. Now they might get there and decide, wow, this sucks, but they're, you know, darn well that elegance is appealing
to
them.
We've seen devices like that in science fiction movies where the iPhone of the future, the smartphone of the future, is basically a little slab of glass, and you just have everything on the display, and you don't see anything else.
And what if you could roll it up?
Glass. Or roll it up as in Earth Final Conflict.
Cool. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'm with you, Dave. I think the home button's going away, and it's only a matter of time. I don't think it's going to go away this fall, which that's when I'm assuming the next iPhone model will come out. But maybe when we get iPhones in 2016, maybe those won't have home buttons. I mean, the fact that this large collection of patents from Prevaris is now in Apple's hands, that tells me Apple's very serious about putting fingerprint sensing technology directly into the display as opposed to having it embedded into the home button.
Which may or may not affect the home button's existence.
You're wrong, Brian.
By the way,
you're wrong,
but
Brian.
I'm just saying it's not necessarily the case.
No, Brian. We're surging into the future. The home button is history, Brian.
Now, why are we only talking about the iPhone? What if this is just so that I can poke the computer screen and actually have something happen, as opposed to now where I spend a bunch of time on my iPad, I open up my laptop, and something has a dialog box, and I tap on the OK and go, no. Maybe that's going to start working.
It could, but Apple's track record so far is when they introduce new technologies like this, they start on the iPhone, they move to the iPad, and then eventually they make their way to the Mac.
Right, but I think there's a better argument to be made for force touch within the screen and not necessarily directly related to the home button. Force touch on the screen of your phone and some sort of occasional interaction with the screen on your iMac or on your MacBook. And I think that's going to be more the direction we're going to take. And the primary reason I think that is because people who are visually impaired find the iPhone a phenomenal experience right now. And if you take away the primary indicator of the orientation of your device on the front of your screen, I think that that's going to be really hard
for
people to overcome.
Can't you do that with the volume up and down buttons?
Actually, why don't you do it by making the orientation irrelevant? So it doesn't matter which end is up, because set it up so that the sound is coming through the iPhone in such a way that it doesn't matter how you're holding it, and have microphones in it positioned in such a way that it doesn't matter how you're holding it. And
that
now
would be
up doesn't matter anymore.
That would be better, but until that happens, and it doesn't sound like iOS 9 has any sort of if you hold it upside down, it matters not mode, then I think that there's a good chance that this is something that... Like you said, Jeff, I'm not even considering seeing anything related to these patents until next year. So when I get my new iPhone this fall, it's still going to have a home button, and that's still going to be great. Yep. And the reason for that, John, is because as the phones continue to get bigger, it's harder for me to hold that phone in one hand and find a volume button. It's that simple.
All right, there you go. John, you look like you have one thing that you want to say. So say that, and then I'm going to wrap us up.
I'm just sitting here looking at Kelly, and she has small hands, so what can I say?
Wow. Okay. There you go. All right. Wow.
And on that note.
And on that note.
And there you have it, ladies and gentlemen.
Okay. Well, everyone, thank you for joining me today. It's great to have the whole crew together and do a show like this. This has been a lot of fun, even though it has been a lot like herding cats, but in a good way. Listeners, thank you for being here with us again this week. You guys rock, and I love that everyone keeps tuning in and coming back for more. Bushel, thank you for being our sponsor this week. Head over to their website, bushel.com, and sign up for an account so you can start managing your Macs and iOS devices and your families too, because that's going to make you a superstar with them. And we will see everyone again next week.